Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language.
Oh yeah, I'm back.
I haven't even opened or created a document, but I kind of enjoy the being unpredictable thing.
Document. Uh-oh.
I mean, it's only 5 minutes that we've got to fill. It's a 5-minute podcast. That's our guarantee to you.
Yeah, I think so. Five. It's pretty much. It's like one of those little hyper ones you listen to in the car.
Yeah. In the elevator. It's an elevator podcast.
Yeah, perfect.
That's the market we're trying to crack. But like, you'd be really sad if you were ever in an elevator that took that long.
One of those very tall building ones.
Yeah. Very tall building one. It also still takes 3 days to listen to. It's a 5-minute podcast. It's our guarantee.
Yeah, perfect.
I'm eating one of my son's birthday cupcakes.
Oh, is it his birthday?
Not even.
Wait, when was his birthday? What?
Saturday.
So this is like a 3-4-day-old cupcake.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, this was made on Saturday and iced, I guess, probably on Sunday morning. And we had a really big party. Oh, man, actually, let's make this a parenting podcast.
What political party does the cupcake represent?
That one was national.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, because, of course, there's, you know, in any cupcake parliament, there's going to be a heck of a lot of national cupcakes.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Maybe that one was Barclay, because he's gone burgers, isn't he?
Was it Barclay? I forgot. That wasn't his name, was it?
Todd Barclay?
Barclay. Oh, yeah, it was Todd Barclay. God, 2 weeks and I've forgotten his name. Oh.
Dead Meat Barclay.
And to think, I thought he was never going to disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Yeah, and I think I was probably convinced by you, because it seems to be the way it goes
this
now.
Holds out new hope for the future. Parenting podcast, you say. Go on, bring it. What you got?
Yeah, parenting podcast, send your questions to at DiscourseNZ. Listen.
Actually, I have a very important subject I just wanted to bring up, and I was just reminded.
Is it our total lack of listeners from the fact that iTunes doesn't work
anymore?
That's
part of it. I couldn't figure out. I feel like we must have talked about this before, but when you pee, do you also fart?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, cool. I just, sometimes I wonder if it's just me. But if you do it too.
Pretty much every time, guaranteed.
All right. The whole audience can help with this. I don't know if it's just a man thing. Maybe it's not just a guy thing. Maybe girls do it too. So you could tweet to us with hashtag peefarter.
Why don't I create a Twitter poll? And it'll be completely out of the blue because of course no one will be listening.
Perfect.
Because I'll do it now.
Okay. Great.
All right, how do I create a poll? There it is. First choice is fart, and second choice is no fart. And the question is, when you pee? Question mark?
Yep.
Wait, when you pee, do you dot, dot, dot? Okay, so when you pee, do you dot, dot, dot? First option is fart, second option is no fart.
I'll get to the bottom
of this. How long should I... Why does it say add a GIF? I don't want to add a GIF.
GIF.
Stop saying add a GIF. It's over the options. I think it's over the close options. And so GIF. I can't see. Oh, there we go. Poll length. How long should I make the poll length? About average. Shut up. Let's make it an hour.
No, we need more than that. We need more. We need like 3 days.
Nope. No, but we want. But don't we want to be able to talk about. Oh, we'll talk about the results next time. Right, I'll make the poll.
In the meantime, important news, there's a runaway process on my computer that's consuming 10 gigs of RAM, and I can't kill it. Ah, life, eh?
Actually, it's Twitter. Is there any point in making anything more than... Like, things disappear after a minute, don't they? Like, I'm not expecting people to read.
Sometimes nothing happens, and then, like, 6 hours later, like, all of a sudden, boof.
All right, seven days.
Okay, great.
And... This is so out of character for the Discourse account, though.
Is it?
All right, it's done. It's done. Yeah, of course it is. No one... They're going to think it's been hacked.
I don't think... Oh, my God. They will think that. So, parenting.
I will quickly respond to the poll. Yeah, parenting. Why not? Send your questions to @DiscourseNZ. or to either of us. Why is this? Oh, it has loaded now. Okay, fart, vote. One vote, 6 days left, 100%
yeah,
fart.
That's right, 100% fart. That's what I thought.
It was a great third birthday party. How many kids is normal to have at a third birthday party? You've had three.
Do you think I remember that though? Like, I don't know, like six. Like, not, maybe our kids are just socially inept, but like six, like friends, and then maybe if you as grown-ups have other parent friends that you recruit as well, then that kind of swells the numbers.
Yeah, we did that.
But like six kids that aren't necessarily just the kids of your parent friends. That seems about right.
Yeah. All right. Okay. There's a gym next to Lee's Institute, which is a library in St. Mary's Bay.
That explains
it was my
the
local
phone
library
pit.
When I was growing up. Yeah, and the phone pit thing was amazing. I was kidding, but not really kidding about my anxiety about foam pits. I guess because I've seen like a lot of fail videos, and it's almost invariably a really overweight person, and they end
stuck
up
in the pit forever.
Like, head down, feet up, and it looks incredibly stressful to me. Like the thought of falling down into a drain hole where you can't get your arms into a position where you can lever yourself back out.
Totally.
But then I jumped into this foam pit and discovered, number one, that it wasn't as deep as I thought. And number two, actually, it's fine. And you can just climb out. It's easy.
Great.
So there's no worries about that. I played with the kids in there. That was really good fun. We had 17 kids.
That's a lot.
I don't know if that's... It seemed like a really good number. And some of those were, not... I mean, they were all kids that he knows and likes.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, all kids that he likes, but some that he hadn't really met very many times, but mainly they were his little friends. But the problem is that when we were deciding who to invite, we were like, who do you want to have there? And he'd say, oh, this is my best friend, so this person. And then the next day he'd say, oh, this is my best friend, so different person. Yeah. And it's like, okay, well, all of your friends are going to be there and they're all your best friend. And it's fine. Kids are like that, I guess. Yeah. I mean, I assume I've only got one. That's why I feel like you've got a slightly larger sample size.
Well, that's true. And, birthday parties are just a pain in the ass now, though. Like, yes, because it's like you got to get the invites out and then no one RSVPs. And then you're like, well, first of all, you've got to spend forever like deciding what the birthday's going to be. Like, I don't know. Do we go somewhere? Do we have people here? Do we have it at lunchtime so we have to feed them? Do we have it after lunchtime so we just have snacks? You know, what do we do with the kids? What if it's raining? Do we have to do structured activities or we can just let them run wild like maniacs? So on and so forth. I think the next birthday party we're doing will be at Kelly Tarleton's.
Oh yeah, good choice.
Yeah. That's for the 5-year-old.
Yeah. So for a 3-year-old's party, I think it's morning or nothing.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, because I mean, it's still in that sort of nap time territory as well, where
that's right,
things to do.
That's right.
By which I mean sleep.
For winter, it's pretty much we always have to choose something which is indoors or indoorsable or indoors adjacent. So, like the suggestions were to keep it real easy and do, you know, the sort of thing that I've been to with friends' kids, and that's just have it in a park somewhere. Yeah. But over the weekend, you might recall it rained quite a bit. Now, as it happens, we had pretty much a window where it wasn't rainy. But like if we'd done it in a park, everything still would have been wet.
Oh, and soggy, and then the kids get muddy, and you didn't bring a change of clothes for them, or you did, but some of the other parents didn't. And then you send them home, all wet
and
cold.
Can't really count on that with a winter kid's birthday party.
It's the worst. I'm midwinter. Like my birthday's only just been. Terrible.
Is it bad? Because I'm a February.
I think you have a bit more flexibility in the summer months. What do we got? We've got an April, a November, and an August. So, like, we haven't got anyone in the prime birthdaying territory. That's the kids, obviously. Mel's birthday's like on New Year's Eve, so great for weather usually, but not great for friend availability.
Yeah.
Although now that we're in, you know, our mid to late 30s, no one goes anywhere. It's not like we've got all our friends off at Rhythm and Vines or anything.
I, I, I feel like because you've got your blue tick and you've got your lots of Twitter followers and you retweeted the thing, we got quite a lot of responses.
Did we?
And
no one does anything.
Well, 15 so
I get
far.
No engagement on my tweets. It's terrible.
Have you got blue tick filtering turned on? So you're only hearing
no,
blue
I use
ticks?
TweetDeck, so none of that nonsense.
Yeah. And the proportion of no fart versus fart seems to me very unlikely. And I've realized now it should have been four options. It should have been male fart, male no fart, and female fart.
Oh, so are we being no skewed fart? By the fact that girls don't fart while they pee?
Well, I don't know, are we?
Expert.
It's a hole in the data.
We structured our survey very poorly. This is not an adequate study. We will not get this published in a peer-reviewed journal.
Oh, damn it. We need a blue team, red team then instead of the peer review.
It's all wrong. Never mind. What else is going on in the world? Did you drive through the tunnel yet?
I haven't driven through the tunnel, but I did end up eventually walking through it. It's pretty nice. I can't remember his name, so I just sort of smiled at him, but I didn't say hello. One of the guys that did at least one of our, I think he's a Cruise TV guy, one of the guys who did one of our election shows.
Oh, yeah.
I think he was like camera one or something.
Was it Jonathan or Nick or something?
Yeah, well, okay, I don't know.
Cool, one of those guys.
Because like I said, I don't remember his name, but I recognize him. He's got a real nice face. He's got a really nice smile. And I assume he recognized me.
Everyone's got a nice smile. Let's just start looking at smile. Oh, you're okay. All right. Well, it's
20 votes. And Fart is now slightly in the lead. So I think the boys are taking back over. I'm just assuming that for boys, it's probably going to be consistent because
I'm not 100% sure if girls even do fart at all.
Have I ever heard a girl fart? Not recreationally.
Only professionally? No, actually, don't answer that.
20 votes now. What is going on here?
Out of control.
It's the most interaction the Discord account has had in, well, I mean, it hasn't. It's essentially been in hibernation, hasn't it? Yeah, so the podcast not being in iTunes is actually a problem. And I asked them to reconsider the deletion because the feed had been deleted.
Oh, yeah? How's that going?
I assume they declined because it went from in review to deleted again. And so then I submitted a new feed address for it. And I don't know really what happened with that. It just sort of went silent again. The Apple basically are awful bastards. They're an absolute black hole. And they're half as good as a lot of people think about most things and twice as good at other stuff that most people
I'm really waiting to see how not as exciting as everyone might hope it is the new iPhone will be. Whatever the next one is.
Is there another one coming this year?
Whenever the next one's due.
What number are they? Is it 9?
14?
Is it? How big is it going to be? Remember when Apple people like made fun of phablets and stuff? And then Apple went that way and suddenly Apple people were like, oh, this is so good.
Yeah, and they made fun of the notification bar in Android as well.
Yep, and copied it.
Oh, this is great. Okay.
Like just ruthlessly ripped it off. Ripping off is fine. Everyone should rip off all the best stuff. Like the phones are amazing now, and it's because everyone's ripping each other off, like just absolutely like crazy. It's fantastic. It's
disgraceful, but excellent.
It is disgraceful, but like if they weren't ripping each other off, phones would be much worse than they are. And phones are amazing. Like every phone now is brilliant.
No, absolutely, totally.
Like a $400 phone now is. It's like the camera won't be very good, but aside from that, it'll be just so brilliant.
I've got a wireless charger for my S8. Did I have the S8 last month?
Yeah.
So Samsung. So I've got a wireless charger for it. That's great.
Yeah. It's very nice using a standard.
Yeah.
I don't know how people pronounce it. The QI charger, the key charger, the Qi. It's so good that like this. We've got phones, you know, most of which are just in drawers now, but we've got phones going back like 3 or 4 years and they all are happy to sit on the same charger type as all our new phones. Oh. It's like, man, why would you not do this?
Bloody handy. I'm willing to bet that the next iPhone will have wireless charging and I'm almost as willing to bet that it won't be,
that won't be
a standard.
Yeah. No. It'll be the new thing. It'll be the new thing. And there will be some, like, it'll be a little bit better in some way that no one will really.
Yeah, like it'll be able to charge, like, because this one, my one has a slight issue charging with the case on. And that's just because, I think that's mainly because I've got a little metal plate in my case that I use to magnet it onto my dashboard.
Right.
So I'll experiment with that a bit. But so that's, you know, sure, if it was a little bit more powerful, then that would be better, maybe. Yeah. It's fairly fast.
24 votes, 58% fart. It's well in the lead at the moment.
Gracious. Finally, we'll learn the truth.
Yeah, so parenting podcast, send your questions, and it's a phone charging podcast. Send your comments
and about I drove through the tunnel. It's great. I've been through it twice now for actual in anger. I mean, I've been through it four times. I've done two return trips.
Yeah, I hope that it's great, but you know, even NZTA's own projections say that it long term it's not going to be great. But like off peak, I think it'll probably be useful, won't it?
I did it on Sunday morning before most people had figured out it was open, I think. So I went out like 9:30 in the morning or something and came back at an hour or so.
How what was the speed limit when
it's
you were 80, through?
It's always 80. I haven't seen it lower than that.
No, it's
never higher.
It's variable. They call it a variable speed limit, I think, in there.
If you're driving through, be aware there is speed cameras on the water view side. One, like when you're coming, what is it, northbound, I guess. The speed camera is right at the entrance, and when you're going southbound, it's about 150 meters after the tunnel. Just FYI, for your 80 kilometer.
And those are actually speed cameras.
Those are.
They're not like speed cameras. Watching for problems cameras.
No, they are actual speed cameras.
Wow, they really don't want people going fast through that tunnel.
No.
You know, accidents in tunnels are fucking scary, man. So I don't blame them.
Yeah, no, it's a long tunnel. My son reliably informs me that it's four harbour bridges long because he's doing some sort of measurement thing in intermediate school at the moment, and I guess they're measuring things in harbour bridges. I don't know.
What do you think about rail to the airport?
I would like it.
If we're going to talk about transport. But
I don't know when it was. Okay, like, it was a year ago because it was when I was coming back from a domestic flight that I'd done to promote Tickled. I'd been to, I don't know, Christchurch or Wellington or something. I was coming back, glancing out the window. We came in a way that I don't usually come in, which is over... What is it? I don't know. Over the from the east, came in, you know, sort of all the way from the east, and I noticed the railway track going out to. What is it? It's like Penrose. I don't know. Would it, or the southern line anyway? And I noticed how close the southern line was to the airport. All you need to do is run a railway line down Puanui Road, and you're at the airport.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that doesn't seem that difficult. Like I've never built a railway, not a real one. You know, only at very small scales. But it's basically a straight shot. And it's pretty much farmland most of the way.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't seem difficult.
It doesn't seem difficult.
And trains in Auckland... Well, trains in Auckland are now, you know, moderately functional. They go fairly regularly and they go quite fast. And fairly often, you know, like, should be doable.
And the City Rail Link will fix a lot of the silliness about... you know, capacity in the centre. And also it'll mean that you can take a train to K Road.
I mean, trains ship from where I am, but that's okay because I've got a tunnel.
Yeah. That tunnel's going to be awesome at 8:15.
Oh, I went to the airport this morning to drop off my mother-in-law. I had to be there at 4 a.m. 4:30 a.m.
All right. Well, I suspect the traffic was flowing
pretty free. It was slightly more cars on the road than I expected, but still it was pretty free. And it took us from my house in Te Aritu to out front of the international terminal was 22 minutes, which...
How long is it normally?
I would say it'd be about half an hour if I just took the regular route down, you know, Carrington Road and all that way for how I had to do it before the tunnel opened.
That's a pretty good improvement.
I was pretty happy with it. I was back in bed within an hour. Couldn't get back to sleep.
Like, the thing about appearing to be a tunnel hater... is I actually don't want transport in Auckland to be bad. You know, I want it to be good. And if that tunnel proved to be a boon, then, you know, brilliant. Brilliant. That's fantastic. But when their own projections are that it's going to ultimately turn out to make things the worse or not improved at all, and it cost, you know, what was it? $1.8 billion in the end or something?
Yeah, I don't know what the... they've got that measure. What is it? The one that's... It measures return on investment measure. I can't remember what it is. I think the tunnel actually works out okay because it does, you know, there is a moderate amount of important commercial traffic that can go through the tunnel that actually makes it worthwhile. The thing that always astounds me about the Northwestern Motorway, being it's one I use the most, is how poorly it's linked to the rest. There's one lane linking it to the Southern Motorway.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, and one lane linking it to the Northern Motorway. Like, there's two lanes that take it to the port, and like, who the hell goes there? Well, I mean, some people do, but like,
that's my off ramp.
Yeah, I know. But you know, you're some people. But like, it's crazy because if you go down there in the morning, there's frequently, and the thing is, because the way the southern off ramp works, or the southern link works, is it's like it ends up being the middle of five lanes. It's the third lane of five, so you end up with this thing where you've got basically stationary traffic going tailing back like a kilometer or so that is bisecting the motorway. It's insane. So that's the thing that always struck me about the Northwestern that's kind of out of control. That seems to be the big problem, I think. And also getting into the city, there's like one city off ramp.
Yeah.
Which also bottlenecks. One lane off.
Right.
Two lanes to a traffic light. Like, I don't know. I assume that's the problem with the Northwestern Motorway, and I am a traffic engineer.
There's an update on the laundry folding robot.
Oh my God, have you found one?
4 days ago on Stuff, probably inspired by listening to
Almost
Discourse.
Almost certainly.
They wrote about new technology for laundry this stuff.
Seems like something that people could be able to figure out.
I mean, you'd hope so. Now, which one was it? I think it's this top one, which is in... What bloody language is this? What site is this? Oh God, it's an Instagram post. What's this language? Foldy Mate might be the
Foldy
thing.
Mate.
Foldy Mate.
All right, I'm going to Google it.
Foldimate, and it's a unit that is
foldymate.com.
About the height of a full size dryer.
Oh.
And I don't think it can do little stuff. I don't think it can do like undies or whatever. But it looks like it does shirts pretty well.
Okay.
I don't think that it does fitted sheets, which I guess was the number one.
No, fuck fitted sheets. I'm happy to ball them up. I don't care. I just want everything else folded.
Ball them up into an incinerator.
Yeah, I
was trying to find a sheet only moments ago because I was putting my son to bed in my bed, which I know is a mistake.
Yes, it is, but that's okay because once he sleeps, he's probably just like you can do and just pick him and move. Target price?
No, I don't. I keep him there.
You're doomed. Target price $700 to $850. I guess US dollars.
Sounds all right.
Oh fuck it. I'm just sorry, I'm watching a video now on YouTube for it, and it hasn't got a volume control, and that's very upsetting to me.
Whoa! Oh! I don't think that my audio feeds into... Did you just hear really loud music?
No, just in your head. No. Okay, so...
Okay, that's good.
It folds shit. Oh my God. I don't like its folds, though.
I don't like its ad. Its ad's a little bit too happy.
Do I have to... Oh no, this doesn't work at all. Because you have to take the thing out and clip it into the machine. So you basically have to unpile the laundry and then clip it into a special holder, and then it just folds it for you. That's not an improvement.
I think it doesn't work. Like, having watched the video just now for the first time, I suspect that they're just trying to get pre-order money and then they're going to dip like those Lily bastards did with my drone camera money.
You're still dark about the Lily, aren't you?
Those fucking bastards with their fake ass demo video, which I totally believed. Not one part of that was real, as it turns out. It looked really real. Like, it looked like they had, like, beyond just prototypes, they had really functional, finished looking hardware in that bloody demo video. God, they were dishonest. And then, like, the first update that they posted after getting all that money was, look at our massive offices that we just moved into. We just got this massive office in the most expensive property market in the world in San Francisco. We're hiring so many people. And then they were like, we've just started doing prototypes. And it was like total fucking trash. Like,
just things exploding and working.
Like breadboards and bits of wire. It was just like total fucking trash. It was like, wait a second. In your demo video, you didn't have all these fucking wires and all this garbage. You had functional flying
amazing
bloody drones. And meanwhile, of course, DJI have aside from the waterproof part, and the waterproof part was actually kind of the really appealing thing to me, DJI have way beyond eaten their lunch, and they've made far better machines that actually exist that you can buy and like,
and you can crash them into crowds, normal, and buildings,
yeah,
trees,
crash them into crowds,
power lines.
Yep. And meanwhile, do you know what I'm having to do? I've had to register to get my money back in like the bankruptcy proceedings in Delaware court.
Oh, Delaware,
and they keep messing up their claims database, and like they've sent me the documentation saying that, like all the legal stuff, saying that I'm in it, but then the database doesn't have me there, and other people who I know who also pre-ordered are in the same boat where they have registered with this bloody court to try and get our blimmin' money back, but we're not actually appearing in the claims database, which is like a massive pain in the ass. The lesson is never fund anything.
Everyone on the internet is lying.
Yep. I funded you.
See, this is the thing. I now have a very interesting, well, I don't know. I don't know how to apply it to other things. I have an interesting perspective on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
So if you're listening,
I'll be the judge of that.
And you're thinking, I know, I should fund my film on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
First of all, I recommend maybe not. And second of all, if you do, choose your rewards very carefully. Because
yeah,
for this film that you want to make that you think is just nothing but something you need to do for your whatever reason, it's very possible to get yourself into a situation where you offer people things that later come to conflict with the interests of the film that you end up making.
Yeah.
And then you end up in a circumstance where you have to basically choose between what you hoped you'd be able to do and what offers and future exist for your film. And it's not a great place to be.
What was I, a producer or something?
Were you associate producer? Did you get accredited as a Kickstarter? Yes. Yeah, yep.
So as far as I recall,
that, right, at least.
Yeah. That was in there. As far as I recall, pretty much what I was promised was that I would get like a Vimeo download link.
Yeah, so what we were never able to deliver.
And look, honestly, what I got was way better than
that. Well, that's hopefully what most people thought.
What I expected, and I think what most people probably expect, was that it was going to be a real shit show. It was going to be like worse than half of the YouTubes that we subscribe
to. Calm down.
But it was going to be our mate making it with his way less talented friend. And I was like, so I kicked in some money and I was happy with what I got. And other people kicked in heaps less money than I did.
Yeah.
And they can lick my balls. All those people who put $20 in, lick my balls.
Well, there's a thing like when you
don't get shit for $20.
You take a lot of money from people and they really help something happen.
But you didn't
take
a lot of money from
people. Cumulatively, and even then not that much, but cumulatively, when you rely on a bunch of people to help you do a thing, and then you can't necessarily deliver what you initially imagined you'd be able to deliver, it's a really stressful feeling.
No, just communicate.
And we did the best we could once we were able to, but you know, most people were completely cool with it, and we did the best we could to deliver all the things we wanted to deliver. But some people were assholes. And in future,
were there people who got less than they expected?
I don't think so.
Because I think everyone got way more than they expected.
Anyway, in future,
or they were expecting really stupid.
In future,
things.
I'm definitely not. I'm not going to go the same way. I'm just going to stop the recording briefly. Because my feed of you is crapping out, and I'm not sure if that's the internet or my computer, which is currently devoting 16 gigs to an SVC host process that I can't kill. So I'm just going to stop the recording.
Are you recording, by the way?
So in a completely perfect segue that you won't have noticed, we definitely didn't reboot computers.
No.
And it's amazing that we haven't talked about Trump for the first sort of half of this podcast.
Given that we didn't reboot computers, it's total mystery how I managed to get all this snapper.
just weird.
Yeah.
Just sitting around in the office there, was it?
Yep. Just hanging out here. All cool. All pan fried and butter.
Yep.
All dredged in seasoned corn flour.
As you do.
And covered in mayonnaise.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. It's mainly a chewing into the microphone podcast. If you've got any questions about chewing into microphones, send them through. I'm an expert.
And you can hashtag those, of course, with hashtag chewing the mic.
Chewing the mic with Dills and Morgs.
Chewing that. I was thinking, oh, yeah, no, okay, chewing. Yeah, because it could be like chewing, like, you know, chewing the fat or chew in.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. It's a, oh, man, that was good.
Mm-hmm.
Christ, I'm like a marketing genius.
We'll be up there above the dollar penny minute.
I should be a social media douchebag. Is that still a job title?
You're at least halfway there.
Yeah, cool. It's the social media part I've obviously got.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Trump. Mm-hmm. Holy shit.
It's pretty amazing.
Do you remember? It was about a year ago, I think, in May 2016, right around the 5th of May 2016, roughly, Trump tweeted a photo of himself eating a taco bowl.
Yeah, the best taco bowls are in Trump Tower.
2016. May 2016.
I love Hispanics, I think he said, something like that.
I love Hispanics. The best taco bowls are from the Trump Grill and the Trump Tower, whatever it is. And everyone thought that was the most insane thing. God, we lacked imagination.
Yeah, just wait and see what happens next.
Fuck. I don't think there's anyone in the world who has the capacity to imagine the depths to which Trump will sink.
Yeah. Let's see what he does with North Korea.
Christ, what did his tweets earlier tonight were like, I don't even remember, like he's complaining that Japan, which has no military, and South Korea, which is largely dependent on the US for military support, haven't done anything about North Korea.
Japan has a military.
Well, sort of, but they're not really allowed to be an offensive military.
They were the Japanese. They were JDF for a long time, but I think that they actually changed their rules a year or so ago, or slightly more maybe, so that they could participate in maybe the fight against
Terror.
Daesh. Terror. Daesh.
Yep. Well, anyhow, they don't have, you know, much military.
Yeah. They could have, though.
They could have, and I'm sure they'll
get
there and
manufacturing
they'll have
might, a big weapons. Population. That'd be a terrifying adversary. As long as they're our buddies, they'd be a really useful ally.
Yeah, and so he was daring China to do something about it, or goading them into doing something about it. Or like, I don't know.
Yeah, the idea that China has control over North Korea, it's crazy.
Or that China has any interest in trying to bring North Korea to heel, like what? Insanity.
I should probably put the snapper away.
Yeah, no, fair enough. We're doomed anyway. Doomed, all of us.
I asked Fox what he wanted for dinner and he said rice bubbles. So I made him some snapper and rice. It's fucking close, right?
Oh, is Sel away?
Yeah, well, she was. She's just, while we definitely weren't off the air rebooting our computers, she's come back from hanging out with All Blacks in the city.
Right, and she's like, what the fuck are these rice bubbles doing all over the table? And why is he in our bed?
He's always in our bed.
Oh, is he? Oh, you're doomed.
I like it that way. Sel's like, this is going to, we've got to stop doing this. We need to have him in his bed. He's got two beds and we don't put him in either of them. What are you doing? You're insane. Let me move him. And I'm like, oh, but he sounds so cute when he's sleeping.
Yeah, there is that. They are, I find I love my children slightly more while they're asleep.
Send your sleep training questions to @discoursenz on Twitter.
I have no insight into that. They just, for a while, it's a horrific hell, and then eventually they sleep on their own, and it's all fine. I don't remember. I think I've had some sort of... There's this other thing that happens as a parent. I think I'm almost certain I've discussed this on a past discourse, and I trust that everyone who's listening to this now has listened to the entire back catalogue. But there's a thing that happens, yeah. I think, when you're a parent, where you have some sort of, like, memory loss.
About how terrible things were?
Yeah, that then enables you to have more children.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know. I remember immense frustration at times with various children not sleeping, but I can't remember any of the details or how we got through that or why they sleep now, but mostly they sleep now.
We scarcely ever had any of that kind of trouble. And in fact, since I've been pretty much encouraging him to sleep in our bed, that's about the worst it's ever been, you know, because I'm an idiot. He slept really well. He slept from like, he's always gone to bed relatively late compared to a lot of our friends' kids. This ostensible bedtime is about 8:30, but he, for pretty much forever, he slept until about 8 in the morning.
Oh.
So pretty easy kid. He was never one, you know, that rose at the crack of dawn and then came and jumped on the bed until we woke up or whatever. So it's all been pretty easy. Send your questions in on how you can achieve the same thing. It's a fluke of genetics, and I'll explain how it all works.
Yeah, or you just give in to your kids and let them sleep in your bed. Feed them rice bubbles for dinner.
I didn't feed him rice bubbles for dinner. I specifically said he asked for rice bubbles, and I cooked fish and served it on rice.
Rice bubbles.
Basmati rice cooked in a pot with water.
None of our kids would eat that. No, it's not true. Some of them might. I don't know. They're completely incomprehensible about what they'll eat and won't.
Yeah. Well, Fox wouldn't eat steamed broccoli tonight, but he ate raw broccoli very happily tonight. So he ate all the fish, and then he ate none of the rice, and he didn't even eat any of the mayonnaise. Like, oh my gosh, how do you not eat mayonnaise? Are you sure you're my son? And then he asked for fruit salad, and I gave him two bowls of fruit salad. And then he said he was hungry, and I gave him a banana, and then he fell asleep.
Good.
Yep.
Always the bananas.
So it's been a really long time since we did this this podcasting thing. Do you think people want us to talk about news?
I thought you were going to say Urban Dictionary Word of the Week.
Urban Dictionary Word of the Week. Your word, Dylan, is big sandwich.
Is it... Were you shit on a girl's...
No! Oh, easy. Whoa. Hey, slow down. Usually it's me that gets us in trouble by getting overexcited.
I didn't complete the thought, so I think we're okay.
It's too much. No,
It's how you... That's why we stopped doing Urban Dictionary Word of the Week. Yeah.
Wolf.
What was it? Wolf? Wolf punch?
Wolf
no,
pack?
Wolf,
or wolf bag?
Wolf... Wolf, was it Wolf Bag?
Wolf Bag.
Don't look that up.
Don't look it up.
Actually, the best advice is don't look anything up on Urban Dictionary, except for Big Sandwich, which is literally a large sandwich.
When we did this the first time, the definition was a larger than normal sandwich. I don't know what the number one definition is now.
Let's not look.
No, let's not look.
I think it's safest that way.
Yep.
News, eh? Is there some?
Oh, fuck. Yeah, probably.
Righto.
So one thing, last week I did say that I wouldn't cut out any of the silences and stuff because I could feel that we were having a lot of silences and we were destined to make an awkward silence, you know, long gap filled episode. And I did that. I did zero editing. I chopped off the ends and I didn't shorten any of the silences, even though some of them were incredibly painful and I knew I could make the episode feel, you know, sharper just with a few.
It takes so much longer to do that kind of professional work.
It does take longer, but even just running the really trashy Adobe Audition gap remover, that's very, very quick. It's not natural. It doesn't sound natural, but it does get rid of that awkwardness. If I have time, I'm going to edit this one just a little bit more.
I'm trying to think which American late night host, and I feel like it's probably Stephen Colbert has done with his guests a number of times, like an awkward silence contest thing.
Yeah. I feel like Are you sure it's not Jimmy Fallon?
God, it seems too good
Doesn't
for Jimmy Fallon.
Doesn't that feel like a Jimmy Fallon thing? Wait, which one's... There's two Jimmys.
Because Fallon can't stay quiet. Jimmy... He'd be slapping the desk and giggling.
Oh, God, that guy. Yeah, yeah, that's that one. But he does the silly games, right?
Yes, he does the singing and that such forth.
He's very good at the singing.
Yeah, yeah, no, totally.
It's a very Colbert entertaining does... show, but it's just so vapid.
Colbert does dry reaching competitions with his guests sometimes. They're pretty good.
Honestly, I don't watch the show and I don't watch the interviews. I watch the monologue on YouTube.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because that's all I'm actually interested in. Like, I don't really want to hear about someone's new movie.
Have you noticed you can't see the John Oliver stuff isn't available in New Zealand on YouTube anymore?
No, I haven't noticed.
Or maybe just isn't on YouTube at all. I don't know. It's very sad.
What's,
they're being sued.
Seth Meyers, that's the other late night one.
He's got good monologues and the closer look stuff's really great.
Yeah, and that's on YouTube, which is the only reason I know about him. You know,
that's on YouTube. Have you seen anything about the Murray Energy versus John Oliver thing?
No.
Oh God, it's stupid.
Tell me about it.
I mean, I know a little bit about people abusing legal process to try and silence critics, but. It's just so dumb. There's a couple of people on YouTube have gone through the legal filings and just, you know, showed them and read them out and stuff, which I'm not going to do because I can't be bothered Googling them. But you read the filing, the initial complaint, and there's so little complaint and so much emotive bullshit.
Right.
And completely non-actionable points. And it's clearly nothing but an attempt to silence a critic.
Right.
And well, also, like, it's filed in a West Virginia court and is clearly trying to, you know, play to West Virginia.
Yeah.
I think, in part, it's probably motivated by a desire by the coal company to... portray themselves to their workers as an ally.
Yeah.
And rather than allow John Oliver to rightly point out that coal companies are not the same as coal workers.
Yeah.
And yeah, that they aren't necessarily going to bring any coal jobs back. But it's so dumb. And John Oliver's piece was so John Oliver-y. And for them to, like, it's just so dumb.
Coal is pretty dumb.
Coal is pretty dumb, and the number of people who work in the coal industry in the US is insanely few.
Isn't it like 80,000?
Which not is even that. It's like
a small, it's a small and a very small industry.
Yeah, I mean, yes, and yes, it is. And the number of them who are miners isn't even that many.
Like, there are 80,000 people that work in the industry, and that sounds like, oh, wow, 80,000, that's a lot. But then you discover that, like, 40,000 people are taxi drivers in New York. Yeah, that's a number I just made up. I don't know that that's
You're pretty close. The coal industry employed, in 2014, which is the latest numbers available, 76,500 people, basically.
Right.
Used car dealerships employ 138,000 people. Theme parks, 144,000 people. Car wash, you know, car washes, 150,000 people. Arby's is more. Arby's employs 80,000 people.
Taxi drivers in the United States, 233,000. So that's three times as many as,
now,
as
of
coal
course,
industry workers.
It's easy to talk about that in an abstract sense.
Yeah. But it sucks if your town is a coal mining town.
Well, it sucks if you're a coal miner.
Well, it sucks to be a coal miner, but I mean, so what's new? It's always sucked to be a coal miner.
But, you know. Yeah, no, absolutely. It sucks to be them. And I would probably be real fucking anxious if that was my skill set and it seemed to be disappearing as well. But I don't know.
But, it's an industry that is employs relatively few people. And coal was super important for kickstarting the Industrial Revolution. But today it's just dirty. It's just the dirtiest energy source.
No, they have clean coal.
Oh, yeah, clean coal, right. Clean coal, of course. Imaginary clean coal.
What about, all right, this is American news, because American news is more interesting to me than New Zealand news at the moment for the most part. Although, Nick Smith has redefined affordable housing in a very convenient and much more sensible way.
So $650,000, I think, affordable housing, is that right?
Well, I mean, that's what the government has decided it might be.
I feel like it was $400,000 about 2 months ago.
Well, there's that, but Nick Smith's argument was that, I mean, it's subjective and housing is affordable to the people who can afford it.
That's useless.
Yes, it is. I think an official measure is something like 3 or 4 times income. So in Auckland, average household income is just like 80-something, 89,000, something like that. So, you know.
It's about 10 times, I think, isn't it?
At 4 times, it's 9.6 times in Auckland at the moment.
Right.
And at 4 times, it would be what, like 380,000, 400,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, which doesn't seem achievable. But what do I know?
Well, I mean, not without an absolute bloodbath, you know.
Yeah.
But the thing is that, like, it's a bloodbath that frankly, it wouldn't really affect normal homeowners, because they'd be, I think it's called underwater. I can't really remember. It's a long time since I've given a shit about any of this stuff. I think it's being underwater where you owe more on your mortgage than your house is worth. But so what? So what? Like, whatever the numbers were before the market detonated that meant you could afford your mortgage, it's the same. You're going to continue paying it for exactly as long as you thought you were going to continue paying.
Yeah, and
it.
I don't think there'd be much benefit.
And the people that really suffer are the people that exploded the market in the first place, and that's the people that bought heaps of houses, maybe dozens, maybe in some cases hundreds, on cheap debt. And those are the people, I don't care if they suffer. I don't care. They wanted quick, easy riches, and fuck them. Do something productive. Build a business, invent something, you know, make something cool. But I mean, fuck you if you're gonna try and get rich and then decide that, you know, our whole society has to be built around protecting your shitty fucking investment. Fuck you. I don't care if those people have a bloodbath. I don't care if they're upside down. Fuck them.
Yeah.
I think you know, housing is just so basic. It's so base, and it's sort of boring to talk about. But
you know,
it's so fucked.
I'd be less upset about not owning a house, but I'd be more comfortable with being, you know, a lifelong renter or whatever, if renters had a little more some slightly stronger protections.
Yeah.
Because, like, say for example, imagine I've just moved into a new house, not a new house, an old house, but that is new to me. Just changed my tenancy. So I've got a new 1-year lease, right? And in the first few weeks of living in this house, say I found a few things that I'd like to get resolved.
Yep.
And then that I went to the property manager went and spoke to the owner, and the owner was like, oh, I don't know if I really want to do those things. And then, anyway, whatever. And then you're like, so now how much do you push? Because in a year from now, my lease is up for renewal. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that under current legislation, the homeowner can just, or the owner can just go, no.
Yeah.
And then what? And it's like, you know, I don't, that situation
sucks. You have to uproot your kids again.
Yeah, and it sucks because, you know, you've got this fucked dichotomy between sticking up for your rights as a rent, you know, as a tenant, and having a long-term place to live.
Yeah.
Anyway. But US news.
Yeah.
Sorry, carry on.
Well, let's just finish that off. So you're absolutely right. If we're changing from, you know, a very large majority of people owning their houses to a minority of people owning and a majority renting, then you're right. Actually, we do need to protect people. You know, it does need to be normal for people to live in a house for longer than a year, and basically for them to be able to live in their house as if they own it. To paint the walls without concern, you know.
I don't even care so much about that. Like, that's helpful.
From eviction for, you know, spurious reasons. Like at the moment, you could be evicted and they can say, oh yeah, my son's coming back and he's going to live there. And so then you get like a third or half or a quarter of the amount of time that you'd otherwise have as notice or something silly, isn't it?
And that's if you're on a periodic tenancy. Like you're slightly better on a periodic tenancy. It's a little bit harder to end the tenancy.
Yeah.
But no one does periodic tenancies anymore. They all do fixed term tenancies.
Right.
Which then you have to basically renegotiate. Well, you don't have to renegotiate, but that come up for renewal, and either party can terminate at the end of the period.
Right.
And so then you get into a circumstance where, you know, like there's a date at which the owner can decide whether they want to carry on or not. And it's like, I don't know. It's just, it's a bit dysfunctional.
Yeah. Because it's not like that in like Germany and so on, right?
No, lots of other places have much stronger, even like ignoring the things like painting the walls and doing minor, you know, stuff like that. Just the continuity of tenancy.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't even care if it's like, you know, if there's an allowance that the rent can be raised a certain amount every year, fine, whatever. But it's the sort of the ability to know, like especially when you have kids, because you want to enroll them in a school and you don't want to have to keep moving schools. And,
yeah,
you know, you just want to know that you have a consistency to your residential situation.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's what sucks about being a renter.
Roots in your community.
Hmm, indeed.
So
the American thing I was going to talk about,
yeah,
was, have you seen anything about the, oh God, what is it called? President Trump's Commission on Voting Integrity or something like that.
Yeah.
You've seen the things?
I've seen the things where they spoke to each state and they demanded voting records. And so far, unexpectedly, like 42 states have said, fuck you, you can't have this information.
Well, sort of unexpectedly. I mean, it was unexpected in that no one knew for sure what would be the you know, what would happen with this, what do you call it, voting. I don't even remember what the fucking thing's called. Voter information, voter tribunal, something, yeah, about voter fraud. Because remember, like, you know, Trump was all like, he's sad. Voter Integrity Commission. Yep. He's sad that he didn't win the popular vote.
And of course, it's because of all those 2 million fake votes, right?
Because he's a thin-skinned baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, so obviously the reason he didn't win the popular vote was, and it was clearly because of voter fraud, because that's the only thing that could explain it, and it was millions of illegals being bussed to voting places in California, I don't know, whatever it was. Yeah. So he announced that he'd have a voter integrity commission, which was kind of meaningless. And yeah, the Kris Kobach, who's the Secretary of State in Kansas, who has a reputation for voter suppression and that sort of thing, sent every state in the country demands for, goodness, what was it? It was like every voter's information. So full name, most recent address, or, you know, registered address, date of birth, voting history, like how many elections they voted in, party registration, where it's available, whether they're in the military, whether they're registered as an overseas voter, the last four digits of their social security number, like just a lot of information. Like, do you want, and it's not even the federal government, it's the Trump administration, it's like, it's President Trump, it's not a government thing. Like, if you're a voter in the States, do you want them having your name, address, party registration?
Well, they'd use it for targeting, wouldn't they, for the next campaign, which has already started.
Oh, fuck knows what they'd use it for. That's awful. So, yeah, pretty much every state so far has told him to go fuck himself. Yeah. Including, amusingly, his own state.
New York?
No, so, Kris Kobach, who's heading this commission, yeah, is also the Secretary of State in Kansas, and as the Secretary of State in Kansas, he's had to tell himself that he can't have the information he wants.
Right.
Hilarious.
That's pretty nice. Oh, the irony, Chris.
It's amazeballs. So, you know, that's, you know, the news, all of it.
Teenager charged with manslaughter after failed YouTube stunt.
I don't like where this is going.
This young man convinced his partner, girlfriend, to shoot him in the chest
on, yep,
their YouTube channel while he was holding an encyclopedia in front of his chest because he thought that would stop the bullet.
Right.
And it did not stop the bullet.
So who's been charged? She has.
She has.
Oh, God.
Well, she's the survivor. I mean, you can't charge him. He's dead. He got shot in the heart.
Yeah.
Through a book. What a dumb shit.
Yeah, and it's always more than a phone book.
It's always more than a phone book.
It's a good few phone books.
Except maybe like with a little 22, but I don't think this was a little 22.
I feel like you should have done a bit of research before you did that.
Yeah, like if you've got two bullets, even if you only have one encyclopedia, if you've got two bullets, you can test first. Because you're never going to hit the same hole.
Like and subscribe.
And the thing is, like, in this case, if you tested, he obviously... He wouldn't actually do it.
Oh, that's awful. But, I mean, you know, like, obviously he goes in the Darwin Awards, but her, she's...
She's been charged with manslaughter, but presumably there's video evidence that says, that shows him convincing her to do this and saying that it's not going to kill him. So, like, I don't think she should be charged.
But I feel like, I feel like if someone said, shoot me,
yeah,
and you shot them,
yeah,
you're still, I don't know, you're still up for that. Like, that's awful, though. I mean, she has to live with that. he doesn't.
I think that, like, it's depending on how the whole prosecution goes, or if they drop the charges or whatever, I feel like... Like, look, I haven't looked at any of their videos because, look, I...
Are they even still online?
They probably suck. I'm sure they're awful. But I assume that she is probably quite stupid because, like, the dude obviously was really thick, and why would she be with him if she wasn't similarly thick? So she's going to get over it. She'll move on. She'll find some other dumb shit, and they'll... start a second channel.
Yeah, I hope so. It's almost amazing that hasn't happened before. Maybe it has.
Oh, I'm sure.
But it was
always a single person who was doing it to themselves. Yes, and they
supremely stupid.
And so they weren't able to upload the video. Man, that would have gone viral if she actually uploaded it.
Yeah, fantastic. Wow. Think of all the clicks.
Oh, criminy.
That is, that's beyond awful.
Yeah, it is pretty awful. But I think it's funny because it's just so, it's just like so predictable. It's so obvious.
Like, I have no idea. Like, it's easy for me to find it amusing because I have no idea who these people are. I don't even know their names.
Yeah.
I certainly haven't seen any of the YouTube videos, so that's fine.
Her name is Mona Lisa.
No, I don't want to. Oh, God, fuck.
Mona Lisa Perez.
All right, let's move on.
And his name else. Doesn't matter because, you know, not like he'll answer your call. I think this is a lot funnier than you think it is.
I think it's just tragic. I just apologize for taking glee out of this idiot's idiocy. Because I saw a video today. Someone showed us on Facebook. I just saw a video. Like, some dudes, two guys beating on a guy who was sort of crouched down in a gutter.
Mm.
And these two other dudes come running up the sidewalk, it's in America, towards the guys who are beating and towards the camera, and basically they're both just flying kick these two guys who are beating on this other guy.
Yeah.
And one of the guys just goes, you know, you just watch him go straight back, head hits the pavement, and he's out cold. And I watch that and I think, okay, well, the guy kind of deserved it, but at the same time I also think, fuck, man, hitting the pavement like that, it kills people.
Yeah. And that's someone's son.
Just imagine that you're all a bit hopped up and boozed up, and you think you're going to be a hero and save some guy from a beating, and then you end up killing someone. Not that I don't think in this case the guy died, but Jesus, it would be easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see stuff. I despair about stuff like that.
I don't like watching that kind of video, but I do like watching Cover Your Asp. Active self-protection. I like watching
active self-protection. Yeah, I know the guy.
But only the ones where the robber gets shot. And why are they all in Brazil?
You don't know the ones that are the lesson about how you should have better situational awareness.
Yeah, I don't like
that. This guy got shot in the back of the head. He should have had better situational awareness.
I don't like that.
You won't get shot in the back of the head.
I don't watch those ones. I only watch the ones where, like, the off-duty police officer manages.
They're always in Brazil.
It's always Brazil. Why is it always Brazil? Man, that country is fucked.
A lot of guns and a lot of CCTV and crime. I don't know.
I probably met multiple Brazilian people, but the only one that actually springs to mind was a guy who was an exchange student at school. He was a fucking dickhead. He was a violent, thuggish fuckwit who didn't understand how to interact with women as equals.
Maybe that's why Brazil
is so fucked. Could be, because they don't respect women. I don't know. Well, and also they have a lot of guns, and they have, I guess, really serious inequality, right?
Did you see the video of the guy going into the Thai police station with the knife?
Nope.
Was so it suicide by cop? Dude walks into a... Eh?
Suicide by cop?
Not at all. Nope. Dude walks into a police station holding a knife, waves it around. Cop sits down sort of opposite him and talks to him.
Yeah.
And then gets him to hand over the knife and then gives him a hug. And then they send him to hospital for a mental evaluation, and eventually he's released without charges.
Right.
And obviously when you see that, you know that had a dude walked into a police station anywhere in the US with a knife brandishing it like that, he would have died more or less instantly.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, I saw the video and I had the same reaction the first time, which is, why can't everyone do it like this? And then I was like, oh, well, because in a lot of circumstances, the situation doesn't play out like this.
That's right. That cop really did risk his own life.
Yeah, totally. And you're like, and it was a fantastic outcome, but it could just as easily have been one of those videos that people show to demonstrate sort of how terrifying a knife as a weapon is. Because people can move incredibly quickly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, there is a balancing act. I occasionally look in, there's a subreddit on Reddit called Protect and Serve, which is where a bunch of cops hang out.
Yeah.
And whenever something like high profile, like a high profile policey thing happens, I often pop in there and see what their perspective on it is. Sometimes it's reasonable and nuanced. Sometimes it's thick blue line. You know,
yeah,
cops can do no wrong. I'd rather me than you, that kind of thing. And it's interesting to see the perspectives. I used to also check it. There used to be public forums on a website called, I think it's called Police One.
Yeah,
but they made them private a while ago. But yeah, it's you know, there's an awful disparity where people are like, well, a lot of cops, especially in the US, are all like, you know, oh, whatever, I want to go home to my family. And I'm like, yeah, totally. But, you know, when you accept a job where there is a risk of confronting, you know, armed people, or where you think people might be armed, you have to kind of step up a little bit, don't you?
Yeah, that's the job.
Like that Philando Castro, was it? No, who was the guy who was shot in the car?
Philando Castile.
It was Philando Castile. So the video of that shows... The dash cam video shows that the cop said he asked for some identification. Philando, I don't know if I'm saying that right, said, okay, I have a concealed weapon permit and I'm carrying my weapon. I'll get my ID or something like that, whatever it was. And the cop said, don't reach for it. And he said, I'm not, but continued to reach for the thing he was reaching for, which was his insurance card or whatever it needed to be.
Yeah.
And so the cop shoots him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, you watch it and it's just, I mean, ultimately, if you extract all the cops are violent and shoot black people all the time aspect of it, it's just a really fucking horrible misunderstanding with lethal force.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and the cops sort of constantly talk themselves into this lather about everyone's trying to kill them and Blue Lives Matter and all that stuff. And so they're primed for it. They're primed to believe that every confrontation they have, every encounter they have with someone, the other person's going to try and kill them. That's awful.
And it's because of too many guns.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, Philando shouldn't have felt like he lived in a place where he needed to carry a gun on his body, and frankly the police officer shouldn't have needed to carry a gun.
Yeah, or if he did need to carry a gun, I don't know, just like
it is in New Zealand,
because lots of police forces carry guns and don't shoot people nearly as often.
Right, but in New Zealand we don't carry, our police don't carry guns, and they very infrequently shoot people, and they almost always pretty much deserve it. Almost, not always, but almost always.
Sometimes every they're very stupid.
Every now and then it's like a courier driver in the background on a motorway, and it was just a ridiculous shooting that never should have happened.
Sometimes it's someone who
has a golf for some club.
Inexplicable reason wants to point a fake gun at the police.
Every now and then it's a BB gun. Yeah. But usually it's someone who's just gone on a friggin' high-speed chase shooting a shotgun back at the police, or is holed up in a house and has been firing at the officers and maybe has already shot a police officer and they end up getting shot. I think that some people do need to get shot. And at times like that, I'm really glad that our police can get firearms. But it almost never happens.
They're quite good at not shooting people.
Yeah, hardly ever.
As a skill.
Not having guns as a matter of course, either, you know, as law-abiding citizens going about our business or as police officers. It's a much better system. You know, as we've spoken about before, I'm pro-gun. You know, I think for sporting use, guns are really good fun. But like living in a society where you feel like you need to carry one around, that just sounds like a recipe for disaster.
So to make this about me again.
Yeah.
There was this.
Oh, you're going to go on about Chamberlain Bloody Park again, are you, Dylan? Wait, was that you?
I love that. That golf remember. Shit. Yeah, that was me. I'm pretty sure. Me.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say that when we did a bunch of Q&As for Tickled in the US,
mm-hmm.
almost every audience
yeah.
asked us about, like, when there's a confrontation where we sort of, well, there's two confrontations. One where we walk up on a studio and one where we approach a guy in the street. And in both cases, people ask us, like, oh, weren't you worried, like, you'd be shot or something? And we're like, oh, well, no, not really. I mean, no? That's just, it was interesting. That was an almost universal question that was raised in American Q&As.
Yeah. Well, one was in California and wasn't one in New York State.
Yeah, so neither of them, you know, very gunny places.
Yeah. But also, like, as a New Zealander, it just wouldn't occur to you, right?
Well, it's funny because it kind of does in a sense, because when you go to the States as a New Zealander, you're like, everyone's got a fucking gun.
Yeah.
Because every cop has a gun and, you know, lots of other people have guns and there are NRA bumper stickers on people's cars.
Oh, my God.
But at the same time, you think, but this guy probably doesn't because, you know, this guy probably doesn't.
Did you see that NRA video?
Yep, that's terrifying.
Is scary, man.
It's not even subtle. Like, we must fight this violence of lies with the clenched fist of truth. Like, that's not a very subtle metaphor.
Yeah.
Like, we must fight. All these people are violent. And we must fight them. It's fucked.
The thing about the NRA, when it was... it's never been convincing, right?
Yeah.
But when it was sort of... more convincing in its role, in its ostensible role, which was when it was about defending law-abiding gun owners' right to have all the firearms and ammunition they wanted from an aggressive government which wanted to grab their guns, right? And this video is like, we must stand with the government against protesters.
So which this sort is of amazing.
The opposite of what their self.
Kind oh of, fuck yes.
Their, absolutely. The position that they previously had kind of put themselves in.
Yeah, no, because it's completely, like, the theory is that the guns are to protect yourself from the tyranny of the government, which is not even what the Second Amendment is about, but regardless of that, that's what they like to believe it is.
Yeah.
And yet, now they're saying that perhaps the guns or the people with the guns should protect the government from...
the tyranny of all these people.
Yeah, really weird. I mean, sort of weird and kind of terrifying. I don't know. We'll see what happens, I suppose. We'll see what happens from a distance.
I feel like it's a bit of a problem that Trump is such a massive pussy. Because there's something, you know, really dangerous about cowards. You know, there's that line that has... did he ever say it? Or his wife certainly has said it, that if anyone hits him, he hits them back 10 times as hard. He'd break his hand if he tried to punch anyone. He's a fucking pussy. He dodged the draft repeatedly and he refuses to exercise. And he's just generally a slobby piece of shit.
Talk about the exercise thing.
He wouldn't even walk up that hill, right? He waited for a golf cart. Literally every other world leader there just walked up the hill and he couldn't walk up the hill.
We need to talk about the exercise thing because it's the funniest thing in the world.
He thinks that human beings have a limited amount of energy over their lifetime.
A finite amount of energy, and if you exercise, you're wasting it.
Yeah.
Which is clearly not fucking true. Because if it was, there'd be a lot of people who are very fit for a short time and then dead.
What is the purpose of pie? Why do you eat?
I don't know, because pies are fantastic, man. This feels like an unrelated concept.
Especially the way Americans do them. And I mean, there's a lot of things. For a long time, I feel like New Zealand, I don't know, maybe the rest of the English part of the English speaking world, we maybe were a bit harsh on American food, but they are right about barbecue. Their barbecue is better than our barbecue. And the way that Americans do pie, all of their funny pies, pumpkin pie is delicious, man. Pumpkin pie is way better than roast pumpkin.
Be wary.
Yes.
Because I've had, on two occasions in the US,
yeah,
very surprising pumpkin pies.
Yeah.
That were more pumpkin than you would expect.
Oh, okay. So a bit more bite.
Like where things taste a bit like pumpkin and not a lot like pumpkin spice.
Okay, no, that's no good.
That doesn't work well.
No, that's no good.
But no, I mean, American pies are fantastic. And, you know, and I say Mexican food, but what I really mean is American Mexican food.
Tex-Mex.
It's great. Tex-Mex.
Yeah.
I really enjoy eating in the States. Except for the fact that it makes me feel so wasteful because I frequently don't finish meals in the US.
Yeah.
And that's fucking hard for me because I eat a lot of food. I mean, you know, it's not obvious, but yeah, it's a frequent occurrence to leave plates with moderately large amounts of food on them.
That seems really strange to me.
Something about it. Just, I don't
know. Like I'm very happy to leave some chips, but the burger's always finished. You know what I mean?
I mean, okay. So I, in
the steak is always finished.
Yeah, the steak usually is. In Santa Monica, I went to an Italian American place. So it did like some Italian stuff and just general American fare.
Yeah.
And I ordered a burger, and the burger came. Well, you know, I ordered a burger, and she says, "Oh, what side would you like? Like a salad or pasta?" And I was like, "Oh, pasta. Sure, why not? I mean, you know, whatever." Fine. Bit weird, but okay. So my burger turned up. It was just like a gigantic burger to start with, served open face because you couldn't possibly stuff the thing in your face.
A burger with pasta is weird.
Burger with pasta is weird. So it's turned up this very large burger, served open face because it was a huge patty covered with cheese and bacon and lots of, you know, lettuce and tomato and onion, all that stuff.
Was it good? Was it juicy?
It was a great burger.
Was there too much
cooked
bread?
Medium rare because that's how I asked for it. But it also came with a side of pasta, and the side of pasta was a more than full serving of like angel hair spaghetti,
nice,
covered in butter and garlic.
Angel hair is the best pasta.
But I mean, it was like if I'd ordered the spaghetti on its own, I probably wouldn't have finished it.
Right.
And this was the side for the burger that I didn't finish.
That's really odd.
And that's not an isolated experience.
Pasta is very... It's a very energy-rich food. It's very risky food, pasta.
No, you see the odds, Olive Garden?
If you don't work really hard, if you don't have like a manual labor job, you should basically never eat pasta.
But it's delicious. You know the ads for Olive Garden where they have the unlimited breadsticks?
Yes. I don't. I don't know that, but I've roughly heard that. There was someone who got like a all-you-can-eat for a year Olive Garden card, and they tried to, or for, no, it was a month, and they tried to eat as many meals as they could there, and it was like a disaster.
Well, so Olive Garden has all-you-can-eat breadsticks. You go there, and they just, you order something, and they just keep bringing breadsticks to your table. It's like a side.
Okay, well, I want one breadstick, so I don't need any more than that.
But, you know, you think of a breadstick here, and it's like, you know, little finger-sized.
Yep.
And like,
and pretty long,
you know, yeah, fairly long, but like the width of a little, no, like, this is like
8 inches long, maybe.
Yeah, but this is like, it's the same length, but it's like a small French loaf.
Oh, right, okay.
Like they're huge, and they just keep bringing them to you,
right,
alongside your giant plate of pasta.
Yeah,
or giant. Anyway, yeah, America food I mean, the reason they're fat is not because their food is shit, although some of it is. The reason they're fat is because there's a huge amount of it.
Too many carbs.
So many everythings.
Mm. Oh,
I don't know how we got here.
I don't know.
It's all done.
But geez, bread and pasta, they are two of my many, many, many vulnerabilities. They're so good, but they're so bad. They were both
buckets of chicken. Are they a vulnerability?
Nah, chicken's great, man. No worries eating chicken. You won't get fat eating chicken.
What about when it's covered in 7 herbs and spices and deep fried?
I just don't think that there's it's fine because you can't really because it's pretty proteiny, so you don't end up eating all that much really compared to pasta or whatever other bready sort of things. Chicken's fine. Eat all the meat you want. The only thing you have to worry about there is misery, not really about weight gain, I don't think. But I am not a registered dietitian.
Oh, good to know.
But you can send your questions about food to DiscourseNZ, the hashtag Dylan.
Hashtag Diet Morgan.
Eat in the mic.
Eat in the mic.
Eat in the mic. Diet.
Chew the mic.
Diet time with Morgan.
Diet time with Morgan.
We're a fitness podcast, and we
nutrition, parenting, US politics, transport, peeing.
Yep.
Podcast.
Yeah.
Cool.
And treadmills.
There you go.
Treadmills.
With a listener base of tens of thousands who somehow still hear this, even though it's not on iTunes anymore.
So I'm kind of afraid to see if I can even find out how many people listened to 601.
Don't bother. Like, because we've just wasted.
The numbers will be so small.
So you're saying we shouldn't do the Casper mattress ad?
Ah, fuck it. They paid. We'll do it.
Yeah. Delivered to your house, sleep on it for 100 nights, return in the US or Canada.
Use the offer code. This ad has already gone on too long, just like every other podcast with every other ad, because they seem to think that the advertising guys are paying by the minute, but they're not. They actually just want to be mentioned pretty quickly.
Say the thing, say the offer code, move on.
They don't expect a 4.5-minute ad read. Dan Benjamin, you fucking doofus. You're the worst podcaster. Why do so many people listen to your podcasts? You're the worst. You're literally the worst podcaster.
You know, I like
shut up about fucking gluten.
I like to sit down on my Casper mattress and read through that week's Blue Apron menu.
Yes.
While I wear one of my awesome t-shirts from Loot Crate.
Yep.
That's it. That's all I can think of right now. Oh, and then I also somehow simultaneously listened to an audiobook from audible.com/The Dollop.
And maybe work on your website.
That's not our podcast, The Discourse.
Work on your website.
Squarespace.
Hosted by Squarespace.
Yep.
Just press escape and you'll see how many of your favorite sites don't actually fucking use it. WordPress.com is probably better, but less customizable. Or just don't have a website if you don't need one. And if you haven't got one, you don't need one. And the offer code is Discourse, probably. That's probably the offer code, because it turns out, I was told tonight, and I actually noticed this while I was trying to sort out the problem with our iTunes feed, which I can't fix. Because it's in Apple's hands, there are now a lot of podcasts called Discourse.
Yeah, I helpfully delivered someone to the Apple podcast link for Discourse before I realized it was not this Discourse. It was another one that puts out episodes far more frequently.
Yeah. Like a podcast would.
Yeah, like a proper grown-up podcast would. They'd also probably stop at some point.
Five minutes. It's almost, I think we're just about there at 5 minutes. 5 minutes or your money back?
Yeah.
I am Morgan Avery.
And I'm Dylan Reeve, who has no idea what the topic is about.
I thought we were ending it. Didn't you just say they probably end at some point?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, we can talk about Google Photos.
Fish and chats. Fish and chats. Sorry, and chats.
The show is cancelled. Beep.